Please turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. Till we all come in unity of faith of the knowledge of the God, unto a perfect man, under measure the stature of the fullness of Christ, for be no more children tossed to row and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, by lying in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the body fully joined together, and attached every joint together, according to the actual working, in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body, the edifying of itself in love. This afternoon we have instructions for church, short instructions for church. 3 weeks ago, just 12 verses of this passage of Ephesians chapter 4, and we considered that we are Christians in cities all the same, that we have Paul by Christ to be part of one body, there is one Spirit, that there is one Lord, there is one faith, that is, and one God for all is above all, and through all, and in you all. As well as being that to be Christian in some senses the same, Paul also says in some senses to be Christian is different, that we've been given grace according to the gift of Christ, that we've been different measures of grace, and we have been given different gifts and abilities and graces by God. And God so did it that he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, teachers, for the of the city, for the work of the ministry of the body of Christ. That we all have those different gifts and abilities, not to annoy each other, but to complement one another. That we are given skills and callings to put ourselves out there for that, so that we can fulfill the work of Christ, and that we can make known the Lord Jesus Christ in the world, and that we can grow in faith. Apostle Paul comes to these 4 verses, 13, 14, 15, and 16, which include a section in chapter 4. First of all, that unity is linked to maturity, till we become unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the measure of the fullness of Christ. What he's saying is that the different spirit gifts that the members of the church are to be used in the work of the church, and as they're used in the work of the church, to unite the church and help to mature, and if you can help contribute something to the knowledge of the Son of God. And engagement in the work of the ministry leads to the state, verse 13. There's that maturing, but it's that he's either grows together and is growing in things of God, pressing towards maturity and leaves behind childhood. Well, what if we make the church? We have an independent, every church should be meant to be an Ephesians 4 verse 13 church. And as much as the church should strive to be an Ephesians 4 verse 13 church, every church should avoid being Ephesians 4 verse 14 type of church. There we see the opposite condition to be children tossed to fro and carried about every wind of doctrine by the sight of men and cunning craftiness when they wait to deceive. And often in that situation, there is a master, or a teacher, the church are bombarded by different acts, and different members listen to this, not all of them good, at different viewpoints, you know. And that can depend some toss to and fro. The situation arises where there is a false teacher or a poor teacher that doesn't want church, which is a certain aspects of Christian doctrine that are false, and he doesn't put in godliness. And very soon you have a church with a leader, one who doesn't want, one who doesn't teach, a new situation that is taught to and fro, out with every wind doctrine. And that's a situation that some have experienced in faith. There be those who every new book is written, or every new ministry appear horizon, they're taken up with this new thing, and they have the spirit foundation in God's. By the way, to maturity in addition to the gift of pastors is set out in verse 15. But seeing truth in love, they grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. Just all the comments on this verse where nothing truth is spoken, and only love rests, their spiritual growth takes place. And of course, Paul is talking about the truth in general. The truth, this is spoken one to another, and within the church context, there is in Christ. But of course, also specifically, it's God's truth. We see truth of God's word. That foundation for the church, for our own spiritual, active spiritual journey, is God. And that is why every good statement is staying along the lines of saying the inspired God we rule faith is. The truth of love. that grow up into things was pet. And it does place responsibility on everyone in the church to the word of God. Therefore, every one showed out approved unto God, and man is not ashamed by the truth. But there is also a responsibility for the church to be God's word, as they are able. I refer, I was well time, working many hours, and I was preaching. I said, oh, you preach your time to study. I thought, probably much less time than you do. Just because we're not teachers doesn't mean that we can excel ourselves for study of God's word. We have to study God's word as well. If you have experienced, if only us to be to others in the church, even a pastor, learn things from his flock. And the pastor learns from the word of God, the flock learn from the word of God. Together, to edify, speak the truth. It means also, from a practical viewpoint, discussions among Christians and people at respect. So often, discussions and Christians can rival between what wildly contrary to Scripture. In my words, I come across people with truth and with respect, and it takes a lot of grace truth when it comes to anger and nastiness. But it is that we are to speak the truth of well, 15 runs into 16. Speaking the truth, I may come to him in all things, which is even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and backed by that which every joint supplies, according to the effect working the measure of every part, maketh in God unto the edifying of the love. Of course, reminding us again, Christ's head, we are body. Each local church is of the whole church. It's a functioning body with Christ as its head. Now in the church, a natural body, every body has its part to play. The Victoria area tested for the individual organs, they didn't think purpose. Almost all of those have the same purpose in the body. And just as all parts of the being of the whole body, the members of a church should contribute and have something particular to contribute to the well-being of the church. You know, if you're hammering something, you whack your arm, or you bang your elbow, you injure it, it hurts. And the school of the church, we want to serve the whole church. Mark reaches the whole good. And of course, like a well-functioning body, when each part does its bit, the whole body is strengthened. And in the church, that spirit of love flows through everything. By speaking the truth in love. And this reminder of the church body reminds us that every church member should be really, actively looking and living for the well-being of the church. So, again, we may consider that what we can contribute very much, but remember the widow in us. She said that she had more than all those who had cast in her abundance. Remember, too, the woman who anointed Jesus in the week before he was crucified. Jesus said, she hath done what she could. And the Lord Jesus Christ asks us to do what we can. And yes, that may mean a certain amount of self-sacrifice. But he doesn't ask us to do more than we can. But often what we can do is more than we think we can do. And he asks us to do what we can for the church in love, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And it is clear from these New Testament passages that we have looked at in recent weeks and from 1 Corinthians 12 that love enriches the church. Love binds the church together. Love encourages us to do more for one another. Love helps us to do more together and to mature as a church. And there is no better sight on earth than a church working together in love for the glory of God and the advance of his kingdom. Well, I want secondly to note that we are dependent on Christ. And that is very clear from verses 15 and 16. Although each believer is gifted in different ways, we must all depend on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to seek our strength in him and our purpose in him. And these last two verses, 15 and 16, describe a spiritual flow. In verse 15, we're told that as we use our gifts to speak the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, when you think about things growing up, perhaps you think about a plant. In some homes I've been in recently, there's been an amaryllis, and as I go back successively to the home, it seems to have grown tremendously over the last few weeks. And the picture that comes to mind is of a plant with roots, it's got a stem, it's got leaves, and every part of that plant is exercising its function so that it grows up and produces a beautiful flower. And I anticipate when I go back in a week or two to a particular person's home, their amaryllis will have flowered. And what is the flower that the Lord Jesus Christ intends for us to produce in these verses? It is the glory of God. The flower that Christ intends for us to produce as we exercise our gifts, as we help others, as we work for the Lord, is to do all for the glory of God. And that is the first objective of the church in working together. It should be to bring praise and honour and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, to glorify his name. But then in verse 16, the flow reverses and it speaks of Christ pouring into his people. We thought about growing up into him in all things, producing that flower which is for the glory of God. But then it says that the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. And so now the picture is this of the human body. It's got all of its parts coordinated and they're enabled by the head. And what is the Apostle Paul indirectly telling us? He's saying that we shouldn't do God's work in our own strength. He's saying Christ, the head, enables us to work for him. And he enables us to work for him individually and collectively. And we know from the scriptures that unless the Lord builds with us, we labour in vain. And unless the Lord watches with us, we watch in vain. And of course, it can be an easy thing to slip into a mode where we try to use God's gifts without depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can become so accustomed to depending on our gifts that we forget to depend on God who gave us our abilities and skills. And we should always remember when we are using our gifts and abilities in the Lord's service that it's God who gave them to us. And it's God who gives us a measure of health and strength to use those abilities in his service. Not only that, it can be an easy thing to slip into a way of life where we disproportionately focus on one thing. It can be easy to work so hard to provide for our families that we neglect their spiritual welfare. We can become so busy in making sure our children perform well that we neglect the spouse that God gave to support us. We can become careless in the things of God, and we forget that all we have comes from Christ. Paul says, don't forget that your head is Christ, and it's from him that the whole body joins together, and it is from him that every branch and joint is supplied. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ wasn't joking when he told his disciples, without me, ye can do nothing. And do you remember how he said to them, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And it does us to be reminded, once we can do glory. And the Lord is to break up with us. truth and be formed by it is the head. What else in practical level? It's we should do all things briefly. If we want to become individuals, mature in the Christian, we do commit ourselves to prayer to the Lord. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, that we should begin the day with God in prayer. Before we barely moved a muscle, we should begin each day with prayer. Lake Vernheim used to say, I didn't dare get out of bed, committing myself and family to God in prayer. A couple of minutes to do just that before you leave your bed each morning. Sometimes problems arise and we may discuss them and we try and look at them from different angles and we may become angry or distressed or despairing. Okay, it would be so much better if you first prayed about them before talking about it. And listen. Well, that individual family in the life of the church. Every activity should be with prayer. I was reading recently in a book about engaged in activity for a number of years. They see a little result of the incoming in. And they sit down and they pray for activity after activity. And they began to bless that endeavour. We should never believe we do the work. Depending on the Lord himself. Not only do we dip Christ, but we are dependent on each other. Right in verse 16. Christ, the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by every joint, and rising to the effectual in the of every part. According to the effectual in every little church, each member has an obligation to each other, everyone, not his. Or her part. Each man has a call. Make the body may refer to on earth. Yeah, whatever you are, you should put together. Eventually, a part of the church. I know this is utility, this is system, society. Society emphasizes personal autonomy. You can do what you want to do. Western Christianity emphasizes personal relationship, right? As proud English people, we don't very independently much, and that often does much. And yes, we need a personal life relationship with the Jesus Christ. But biblical Christianity is not just about Jesus and me. You and I are of the body of Christ. If we have the UK, Conservative Church is often so small and weak. And one of the biggest reasons is that brothers and sisters are not able to work together enough for the advance of the kingdom of God. What a blessing it is. The situation right here in verse 16. The effect in measure. And the blessing is given what's the blessing? The gift increase of the body, edifying of itself. What Paul's saying is that when each member of Christ is working and praying and serving, the gift increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. Those words in love are absolutely crucial, aren't they? Let's read it in verse 2 of this chapter. Paul exhorts us with all lowliness and meekness, with all suffering, forbearing one another. Love. We've met with verse 15, but speaking to the truth in love. When local to bless, church is a blessing when we all prayerfully, lovingly to the life of the church. Sometimes we want to be in love because we're weak and ill and overtaxed. But we should offer to be those who love and support one another. We need each other's love and complement each other. That we grow in the love and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The four verse 4 of this book of Ephesians, there is one body and one spirit. Lord Jesus Christ, one body, and engage us to work together so that we can use our different gifts to build his church. Gifts are needed. Everyone must do his or her part. Who are all be able to do much more activity, but you can still. I miss my father's presence. I miss his presence. Who? His place. Our spirit, flows from Christ. I pray for you all, my anxiety, but remember also to pray for one another. And as you wonder, maybe cry wonderfully, God will answer your prayers. There's an American writer who wrote a commentary of Ephesians. And they called the Sunday school teacher, taught he was 8 years old. And that Sunday teacher taught him for just 1 year. It was a large church. And Brian went up to a class, but that school teacher continued to take interest in Brian. When Brian's family moved him up, the Sunday school teacher would continue to write to him sometimes, asking him even a letter or two when Brian was at university. Many days later, Brian was in seminary. A letter. In Sunday school, read, Brian, I forgive you. Oh, yes. Part, Lord, you, Sunday school teacher, pray for, spiritually support a man, emerging, preach, and plan. Bible exhorts us to pray one another. As we work together to apply the to pray of plants, work of the gospel, told make increase the body to the edifying of itself in love. And that is the blessed come for working praying with the Lord together. The Lord has gifted some of you riches. Pray that God help you. To use in prayer for penance, to be a blessing to church, a blessing to one another, and for the glory of God. Amen.